Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. As usual, I am your host, Robin Misevich. I want to really welcome everybody all around the world. We have such a vast audience. It's really exciting to see everybody tuning in and getting all the questions and just different ideas for shows. We really appreciate that. And it's really important to us because we want to be putting high-quality things out there for you guys, things that really matter to you, and just have it be something that's very poignant and online. So tonight's show is actually being driven by that. We had a couple people interested in learning more about thyroid and thyroid conditions and things like that. And I really have to say that on a personal level, my mom, she definitely had thyroid issues as she was getting older. So, and this has really been an interesting topic for me to do just some research on and learn some things about it, because I'm really realizing that a lot of it can be corrected just through all kinds of really natural ways. And as always, we've got our one of our regular diners here, Miss Gloria. How are you tonight?
I am doing great. It's a terrific Tuesday to be on the radio.
Yes, it is. It's always terrific for the Tuesday and always terrific for the radio. So that's really, really good.
Terrific Tuesday for the Transformation Cafe.
Cafe. Woohoo! That's good. So we're going to kind of just dive right in here because we've got so much information, and Gloria and I had a little bit of chatting beforehand. So we're kind of spot on about what we want to do with it. So what I'd like to do is just kind of talk about thyroid in general. And you know what? Just as always, the internet has so many really wonderful research things that you can do. Gosh, we're so lucky nowadays being able to just literally just put a few things in and have those search engines just bringing stuff back to us so we can go ahead and check it out. And I really want to thank so many people that just have a loving passion for giving out information that can really help people, because there's just so many wonderful YouTubes out there and practitioners that are really wanting people to be informational savvy. I mean, knowledge is power. So it really helps us to be taking own responsibility for what we can do to be making positive change within our world and within ourselves. And I really think that they're balanced in what's really happening with everything. So if we can be able to take some things that we've had, a prior generation had issues with some of these things, and know that we can retrack those things into ways that our kids can learn from us, that there's just definitely positive ways of a lifestyle and ways that we can be looking at things to really change that. So it's not something that's, when it comes to, well, it was in my genealogy and my mom had it, so I have to have it. That's just not the case anymore, because we're learning more and more about stuff. So we're going to go ahead and talk about thyroid. So Gloria, what are you thinking about thyroid? Was there anything that really kind of surprised you just right off the top as we're kind of getting into the topic?
That question, ask it again in a different way. What did you just said?
When you started looking into the topic of thyroid and just different things that are happening with that, was there anything that really kind of popped out or surprised you about it?
Well, I've looked at thyroid now for quite a while. The one thing that came to mind when we started talking about that today is, and I know that you're familiar with it now, is a product that is called Symbiotropin. And it started out as a pro-HGH. And the more I did some research on it, the HGH plus capsules that they carry had ginseng and schisandra and saw palmetto and some gotocola and some ginkgo biloba and some other things. And, there are so many things that help to support the thyroid. And looking at the benefits of some of the natural ways of taking it, the body has a way of processing. It's tied in, but yet it's separate because, everything is interrelated in the body. And I had been to a convention once, and they had a very educational talk on, utilizing a cream that was made from yams for women, and you would rub it on a very thin area of like your chest. So you needed something that had something close to the blood vessels and more superficial blood vessels, so it could get into the system more quickly and efficiently. And it went through, the way they explained it is that it went through several layers. So what came in and eventually affected the women's hormonal aspects, it started out where it went through the skin, and then it went through the cholesterol levels, and you know, it had like three or four different levels that it went through where the body got benefit all the way through. And so a lot of the natural supplements, and I know that this is for entertainment purposes only, you know, look at talking to a naturopath, a holistic doctor, and you know, you have a natural pharmacist as well. I believe they're called, it's not pharmaculture. There's a specific name for the people who do blending of natural pharmaceuticals and creating something that is specific to what you and your doctor realize that you need. So it's a collaboration between a number of different professionals that help to create these natural supplements that are very beneficial, and each one can be done uniquely. And so looking at, you know, like I said, the different things like ginseng, I mean, we all have heard about ginseng, and Schizandra berries I've heard about for a very long time, and you know, saw palmetto is also used. So it's just, there's so many different elements that, as layer by layer, affect the body that will trickle into the thyroid, but you can, you know, get stuff that is specifically targeting the thyroid.
Mm-hmm. So listen to this. I just want to back up for a second. So if somebody just says, well, okay, this is the first I've ever heard about thyroid. You know, what is it and what does it really do? So the thyroid is actually connected to, it actually looks like a butterfly that's on the center of our neck and on our throat. And it looks literally like a butterfly that kind of comes up on both sides of the center of your neck, midway between the under part of your chin area going into the throat area. And it really just helps to control so many processes of the body. It's amazing. It's between the thyroid and our adrenals and just the different glandular systems in the head. You know, happy glands are a happy body. I just made that up. I'm sure that's true, though, because there's just so many things between the thyroid and, you know, our adrenals and the hypothalamus and just all these just power-packed glandular systems and how they just really help to keep the body thriving and in a balanced way. So it says that 25 million Americans are living with some kind of thyroid imbalance. And we're going to go through real quick, and I'm going to talk about some of the different things of like, well, how would you know if you have a problem with your thyroid? So one thing, you know, just like Gloria was saying, really want to encourage everybody to go to a homeopathic or somebody who can do a thyroid test for you. And one of the things that was really important when I was looking at all the different things they had on the internet is they have like a general test that you can take for thyroid. It's really important that you do a full gambit of just testing all the different dynamics of your thyroid to make sure that it's not just, you know, a pat answer for stuff. Make sure you're getting a bunch of different tests to make sure that that's really true. And a lot of it's just, you know, and always for me, it's really going back to yourself and what you know is really happening for yourself. So looking at the different ways that your body's talking to you and just having just signs and symbols for having that different stuff. So, you know, right off the bat, they were talking about weight, and they were talking that if you're having problems with, you know, whether you've got a little bit of weight and you just can't get rid of it, or you're trying to gain weight and you can't get those pounds back on, that's going to be showing something that's either a hyper or hypo situation. So let's back up on that too. So hypothyroidism is when you have an under-functioning thyroid, and your energy may be low and your metabolism is running at a lower rate than it normally would do. Then you have the opposite of that, which is the hyperthyroidism, which is an over-functioning metabolism, and everything is just really literally almost running in overdrive. So you've got that as well. And that really affects your adrenals and your immune system when you've got this one. It really affects it on both sides, depending on what's really happening. And then what we hear a lot of nowadays, the auto immune disease that includes...
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The one thing that I was always puzzled about, and pardon me, is that everybody would talk about the adrenal glands, but I could never really find... I never really appreciated what the function of the adrenal gland was and is about. And so I'd like to add in here before we go to the next section that the adrenal glands are there. It's the main purpose is to produce and to release the hormones and the chemical messengers that regulate our hormones and the messengers in our body that say what kind of chemical the glands need, like the thyroid, need to release. So that's mm-hmm. why people talk about the adrenals being very important. So they help monitor. It's like the dam stop, where it'll mm-hmm. or the control flow, the control valve that opens the sluice gates of our different mm-hmm. organs to be able to release the different hormones and chemicals that our body needs. And so that's why the adrenals. So in addition to looking at your thyroid, you also need to be having a balance on the adrenals. So, thank you.
You know what? I also heard that adrenals use more vitamin C than any other part of the body, which I thought was really interesting.
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and what they were saying at this, like I said, another thing they had on the internet was that with the adrenals, if you're not getting enough, you're going to prematurely wrinkle a lot. Because your body's really just trying to take vitamin C from any resources it possibly can. And, of course, it's going to be taking it from the skin. So, depending on if you're getting an adequate level of C and into your system and stuff like that, your body's really going to target. That's why smokers and people like, who'll have different kinds of continual habits that really coffee and smoking and things like that, they really deplete the body already of vitamin C. And so that's another reason why you really see people who age prematurely because of those things that are just, the adrenals are just overworked as it is. And so it really ages the body very, very quickly. So I thought that was really kind of an interesting thing with that. So with the autoimmune diseases, the two that are people kind of know them from in that the definitions of that is Hashimoto. And Hashimoto is when it's an underactive immune with the just way that your body's responding with the immune, your immunities, and then Graves' disease also, which when it's overactive. And those are more extreme ways that the body's reacting to having the thyroid being imbalanced. So there's what the good news
and
is that there's all... Go ahead.
Going back to the vitamin C real quick before we mm-hmm. move too far away from it, it's a water-soluble uh-huh. vitamin.
Right.
Like water,
so water, water, water.
Well, it means that it gets washed out of the body. It doesn't stick around. So mm-hmm. you can take vitamin C, and you were talking about, how it comes, it'll be taken from the skin. If it takes it from anywhere it can find it, if your body is low on it, it just means that you need to make sure that you are moderately consuming levels of vitamin C.
Yeah. And, it's always the choice is to get natural sources of that as opposed to, vitamins and things like that. But, depending on your lifestyle and what really works for you. And, sometimes they're even talking about, I've heard, too, that, you get these IVs of vitamin C and the way the body processes it, it actually the majority of the vitamin C that they get really doesn't help. So there's a lot of other more dense berries and things like that you can get that have a very high level of vitamin C. Rosehip, yeah, that's one of them. That's one of the herbs that we were going to talk about. It's having rosehips on there. So how, I'm going to go through this, some of the other ways that you're going to know that you have problems with your thyroid. And again, it could be hyper or hypo or moving into your autoimmune levels or things like that. So that's the weight thing that we were talking about. It could be part of your appetite. You either just are feeling ravenous and you have to eat all the time, or, you just don't have an appetite at all. You've got cravings for sugar. And sugar, what I've heard for sugar is really helping to balance out your body, and it's one of the things that we really recommend for treatments of ways that you can help yourself to balance the thyroid is making sure that you have good fats. Good fats are something that really help to suppress or really get rid of any kind of sugar cravings that you have. So avocados and nuts and things like that have the natural oils and fats. The body, can really take that in and be able to do some really great things with it. So that's one of the things they have on there. I was really thinking about that when it came to obesity and weight problems. And Back in the day, we used to have one, because one of the things that is really important for our body is to be getting enough niacin and iodine. And they said that there was a, came to a certain point where when they were making baked goods, they started taking that out. Those were additives and just things that had been added to the bread products. And once they took that out, obesity really started to take off. And I think that's part of what happened with the thyroid. Thyroid, it was, you know, basically overreacting to not getting those trace elements and nutrients that it needs. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing, considering we've got this, you know, this epidemic of obesity. How much of that is really thyroid-driven, if not all of it? I think that's really kind of a good question to be asking and looking at that. Part of it, too, is table salt. There's a big belief out there that if you get table salt, you're getting enough, you know, there's an element of iodine in that, and that's really not true at all. It's really difficult to get any kind of iodine from table salt, and it's really way better to get the Himalayan salt, and we're going to talk about some of the other foods. There's so many natural foods that are out there that give you really, really wonderful the nutrients and stuff that you need to be able to be sustaining the body with all the glandular systems. And, you know, here we're talking about thyroid tonight, so that's one thing that the good news is there's things we can do. So with the weight issues, and again, with the cravings and your appetite. And then we have your energy issues and, you know, feeling really tired or feeling really hyper. Those are two different ways that you would know that there's something that possibly that could be going on with your thyroid. Having sleep problems. You're able to go to sleep, but you can't stay asleep. I know for a few people that I know that could be an issue. And again, you always have, sometimes you have to look at if people are on prescription drugs, things like that. That could be symptoms of those kinds of things. But along with that, too, is if the thyroid isn't working properly and people are on medications, that's definitely something that's going to be influencing it to have it, you know, moving in a direction that maybe we don't want. Mood swings, people being really just blue or depressed. And then people who are really hyper, they're getting into anger and being, you know, irritable for really no reason at all. So, you know, think about that, too, about when it comes to having this increase of suicide and just erratic behaviors that are going on where people really don't have patience. How much of that is being driven by imbalances with the thyroid? So, again, something else that's looking at, you know, with some of these things being balanced, it could really be helping with their overall just productivity in life, quality of life that's really happening out there. Joint pain is another one of the symptoms that can be with thyroid as well. And, you know, think about all the knee replacements and things like that that are happening because people are having their knees breaking down. And having that be something that they're having to work with. And then with women, and I think this kind of goes with men too because everybody's got cycles, is the irregular periods, problems with fertility, and then just overall hormone effects of like hot and cold flashes and things like that, and having that being something that affects people. So just lots of different ways that, you know, you go, huh, you know, I thought I was having a, you know, premenopause or as I get older, these things are just kind of happening to me because it's part of older age. So really looking at that is, no, maybe it's just the fact that the thyroid is imbalanced and it's causing some problems here that you can be able to alleviate those. So, and again, talking with the immunity and the adrenals and just all the different organs and that are having with our hormonal situations that we got going on. So for just jump in anytime, Gloria, if you've got some of this stuff. So I wanted to get really quick into the, we got about 10 minutes left. I want to make sure that we're talking about the good stuff. So those are ways that you might be able to look at that. So go ahead, Gloria.
Before we travel on, going back to your comment about the iodine,
mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of different minerals that we need, and it's very difficult to get a balance because, you know, drinking a mineral, eating a mineral, you have your chelated minerals, which are in liquid form, which they're available in health food stores, and they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And also considering that kelp out of the ocean is very well known for having the bioavailable iodine. So the body can assimilate it more easily, and it has a lot of different trace minerals as well. based on it, you know, growing in the ocean. So it's a nice natural way that you can also add something to food you're eating. So it's more food is nutrition.
Yeah, that's the number one thing that most of the information on the internet was talking about was really coming from the sea, to getting sea vegetables, what they call it, and like you're saying, the kelp, seafood, seaweed, and things like that that are available. A lot of Asian markets, you can get a lot of seaweed kind of products that are really, really helpful and do have traces of iodine in it already. And, you know, also the main thought that seems to be out there, too, is it's way better to get it from a food product than it is to go ahead and take straight iodine. Very dangerous. You don't want to do that. It could be very hard for the body. And, you know, in different levels that you would have, it could be very, you know, poisonous. So really want to recommend people to be eating. Go ahead.
If you are going to access it, also pay attention, just like when you read the labels.
Right. Make sure we're reading labels.
Based on the nuclear accidents that have happened, I'd also pay attention to the source of where you're buying the product from. Because until some of that is gone, you know, the things we do to the ocean and the food we're consuming from it, we're also doing to ourselves.
Yeah. If you go to our last show, which was TC 264, we did a lot talking about women's issues with being able to use cactus supplements and things like that. And one of the things that Andy had and put into the information for that show, if you go to transformation-cafe.com, there's a wonderful YouTube with Rosemary Gladstar, and it's over an hour long, and it's a really wonderful presentation on herbs and working with depression and things like that, and some of it's addressing female issues with that. And she said sea plants have more nutritious value than land plants. And I thought that was a really good quote to have on there. I'm just talking about the benefits of, you know, getting your kelp, your seaweed, things like that. And, you know, that goes right into the dark leafy vegetables and things like that as well.
Not talking out of school, but Monsanto hasn't gotten their hold on the sea animals and the sea vegetables yet.
Another reason to get there. So there you go. That's good.
You're more than welcome to edit that out of the show for later.
No. No, I think we need to leave it. I mean, a lot of people, I think that's a good thing. It just seems like we're getting that much more of a community and a global voice against Monsanto and really people putting their foot down about, you know, their food and what they're doing to the land and all that. And it's slowly making a change. Because that's one thing, you know, we really vote by what we buy, how we basically the products that we want. And that's going to definitely speak directly to them when it comes to what we choose and not choose, when it comes to what their product choices are and how they're creating their different product lines. Because if you really look at Europe, it's so great with all the GMOs and things like that, but they're just not allowing anymore. It's just really wonderful to see how all that stuff is turning, and it's a great measuring point for us to be able to say, well, you know, here are these companies overseas are no longer doing those practices, and food's thriving, it's a high quality, and people want that. So it just shows that, you know, we can move away from these old models and being able to make things way more healthier and more conscious and just better for us, better for the planet, better for everything.
And it's beyond not doing them anymore. They never allowed them to begin with.
Yes, exactly. So just a reminder for everybody, go back to that. This our last show, which was 264. So all the good things, all the good news. One of the first things that you really want to get away from is reducing and eliminating your caffeine and your sugar, which makes perfect sense because it's about getting away from all that processed foods and anything that's going to basically create, you know, more sugar or more caffeine that's stimulating the body, being able to balance that out and have it be, you know, helping you to get back to your own rhythms. And because the body will treat, you know, a lot of the carbos, you know, any of these processed foods and stuff like that, just like sugar. So it's really staying away from it. You know, it's kind of get away from anything that's white, except cauliflower, I think. But, you know, if it's not a vegetable, anything in the grocery store that's white, you really, there's total aisles you don't even need to walk down. It's amazing to me to walk with the amount of information that I've learned in the last 10 years. I literally walk the perimeter of the grocery store most of the time. That's all I need. And I'll look at all this different stuff and think, oh, you know, back in the day I used to eat this stuff, and now I just don't. It's not a matter that I know better. It's just I just choose not to. I think the body, you know, once you you treat the body way better and give it, you know, things that it can really work with as opposed to just empty calories and empty product. It really helps to have everything go good.
Plus just having the freedom to be able to make a choice, you know, to know the difference and to be able to take responsibility or to consciously choose this time not to.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So another thing that they really encourage you to do is up your proteins. So, you know, and just reminding everybody, it doesn't necessarily have to be meat, but, you know, if that's your choice, going into, you know, free range and grass-fed for your different meats that you would might choose, and really moving into seafood again, the sea vegetables, and getting into fish for getting your natural levels of iodine, and then all kinds of nuts, regular nuts and having nut butters, quinoa, and then the legume family. All of those are really great resources for your proteins. And I found that to be really true when it comes to being able to balance my body. I know if I have different kind of, you know, vegetables and then make sure that I have some kind of a natural protein with nuts and things like that, you feel really satisfied. It's not like you really feel you need a whole lot more. So I think that's really a wonderful thing to be remembering. Along with that, too, is like, you know, with those nuts and stuff, we're really getting our natural fats. So avocados and, you know, ghee, olive oil and flaxseed, nuts and coconut, all those things are really wonderful natural fats that the body
will go into. When it comes to eating protein, as far as coming from meat, whether it be chicken or beef or fish, I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I remember somebody saying that if you made a fist, that you should only eat that much of protein per day. When you come to the point where you've, you know, like you've stopped your growth cycle, you know, you're in your 20s moving into your 30s. So it's about adjusting the amount of food that you require for your body's building blocks.
Yeah, I've heard that too. It's like actually instead of a fist, it's just like you put it like if you made it just to fit the palm of your hand. That's all the protein you need every day. Yeah, yeah, just pretty minimal. So some of the other ones that we didn't talk about are cranberries. Cranberries are a really good source. Eggs, asparagus. Again, the dark leafy vegetables with spinach and the kales and things like that.
And with cranberries, you can put them in your freezer.
Yes.
If anybody doesn't know, you can put whole cranberries in your freezer and then use them as you need them.
I love to do that with the holidays because that's one of the only times of the year it seems like you can get fresh cranberry. So as soon as I start seeing them in the market, I start grabbing them and, you know, I have like one little section in my freezer. I just throw them in there and, you know, be working with them for the rest of the year when I've, you know, when we can't really get them without having them be freeze-dried. Huh?
2 weeks ago, I found them on sale. One of the things that a lot of people don't pay attention to, or it's kind of gotten out of fashion because we now have access to fruits and vegetables year-round when they ship them in from other countries. We used to have it so that when we only had produce that was local to our community, it was seasonal. And you have cycles where you can find things in more available for being on sale. And I don't know what it was, but a couple of weeks ago, I was finding bags of cranberries for 99 cents a bag.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was the appropriate cycle or if they were just, you know, getting to that point.
They could have been frozen and they were bringing them out. Yeah, who knows. Or something like that,
I think
their season and they're getting frozen and brought out during the holiday because that's, you know, kind of supply and demand depending on what's going on with, you know, people with their wants, you know how that goes.
Well, and that particular store was moving their location, so it could be that they were reducing their stock too. I don't know, but my point is to look at different cycles for seasons to find when you have excess produce that will be on sale and then figure out how to preserve it and keep it for later use.
Yeah, and just to kind of another side note for future shows, my sister Amy, she's been on quite a few times, has her friend Katie Fitzgerald. We're going to be talking about seasonal cleanse And with each season, the different foods, just like Gloria was saying, what's in season right now, and how I'm going to make that into juicing and raw meals that I can go ahead and be cleansing my system. And it's about a 4 or 5 day program that they have, but it really helps you to move into that next season. So I'm excited about that because it just sounds like a really interesting process. And she's Katie has already done the summer cleanse. So I'm excited to get her on to talk about, you know, personally how that was for her and how easy this stuff is. She's really excited because it's just a lot of it's just really delicious, and she's just found it really benefiting her body and just her overall wellness and health. So that's really good. So, and then we want to just make sure that since we're doing herbals and also for food, you know, reminding everybody, you know, the basic standbys of, you know, chamomile really helping to calm the adrenals. Calming your system, because one of the things we really need to do is to lower inflammation and stress in the body. So a lot of the herbal treatments that are available, you know, Rescue Remedy, if you wanted to get into the Bachrom remedies, is another one that really helps to reduce stress and being in a place of being able to have more of a relaxed body and being able to reduce your fight and flight. Rose hips and rose with whether it's an oil or a tea, can really help to calm and nourish. And just, you know, roses are one of the highest vibrational flowers on the planet, you know, and they usually oscillate at 350 megahertz. So there's just really wonderful, high potency, high balanced energy that comes from roses. So it's that synergy with nature that really helps a way of being able to enjoy it and being with it that helps us to open us and get into that natural rhythm with nature. It's just very, very important. And, you know, just having a cup of tea can really help us to do that if we can't necessarily get outside and be able to commune with nature. Of course, you know, you go outside with a rose and drink rose tea. That's like the ultimate. Well,
and with a little footnote there, make sure that you get flowers that haven't been treated with pesticides or chemically.
Pesticides, yeah. That's always very, as much as possible. Yeah. You know, I heard a really interesting fact that, you know, there's so much crossbreeding and things that are going on with roses and plants in general that if, I know this for roses, that if you left a rose alone and you stop pruning it and feeding it, or, you know, you're just giving it all the different things to be able to manipulate its DNA, that it would go back to its natural DNA, because they're saying that, you know, we're losing the with the grafting and everything that's happening with different plants, especially roses, that they're losing their original DNA. But they'll go back to that if you leave it alone for 3 or 4 years. Yeah,
nice.
So that was very exciting to hear that. So, you know, you can leave it alone, and it knows what to do, and it goes back to its natural, you know, state of expressing. So I thought that was really, really cool. So, and then lavender is wonderful for the calming. And then orange, really, just like the roses, it will really give you more of a happy and a joyful state of being in the way that it helps to balance your body and just really help your adrenals to be in a place where it can be relaxed and the thyroid can be happy. So lots of information. And, again, there's lots of stuff that's we're going to have a lot of different connections off the Internet with what we'll do on the show. So questions, comments, questions, please let us know. And we'll hope to have a practitioner in the future that can really be addressing some of the thyroid issues that, you know, embellishing on that and helping us to understand it from their perspective in the future. So we want to thank you, Ms. Gloria, for joining us on the show.
I appreciate being here as always. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and wonderful. Thank you for all that information about thyroid and food and all that good stuff in general. So we thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.